This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Welcome everybody to another episode of the Bulls Sports Ethos Coverage Show. I am your host Keith Cork, and I am here joined by my good buddy and co-host Trey Hill to break down for you a somewhat exciting here 110-116 loss. The Bulls fall to the Memphis Grizzlies, who just played absolutely lights out. Fun to see these two teams face off against each other. Anyways, Trey, Ja Morant, man, this guy is just, he does, I know Stacey King said it earlier, but he does give you some Derrick Rose vibes. What do you think, man?
Especially after that 360 layup, or not even quite full 360, but especially after that super athletic layup. He definitely gave it was... not even Ja, but the whole team. You know, not necessarily a lot of knockdown three-point shooters, but it's your star point guard driving into the lane. And when he's not making the basket, you've just got two bigs down there rebounding the ball and putting it back. The Grizzlies were able to rebound 35% of the shots they missed tonight. Just absolutely unreal. I think Adams finished with like 21 rebounds. I don't have it. Yeah, 21 rebounds. 8 offensive rebounds, 5 offensive rebounds for Kyle Anderson. So,
yeah.
While Ja reminded me of Derrick Rose, a lot of watching the Grizzlies play kind of just it reminded me of, you know, the Noah Days and Taj Gibson out there just kind of cleaning up Derrick Rose's messes whenever he would miss. And Ja didn't miss a lot, but when he would, they were right there to put it right back in.
Well, Trey, it's hard to miss when you're getting, you know, layups pretty much uncontested at the rim over and over again off the pick and roll. But before we break this down for you guys, you are listening to the Sports Ethos Show. I want to go ahead and remind you listeners to take a moment to follow at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter, the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides more analysis too. Again, that's at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. Go follow it now. Nice to have a little hiatus there, Trey, because I was feeling a little under the weather for a while, but I think I'm back here. My voice is still a little crackly, but finally over this cold has been kicking my butt, man. So excited to break down some more Bulls basketball. I know we didn't have a breakdown for you guys last game, but happy to break this one down for you. But yeah, the pick and roll here with Ja Morant and Steven Adams, I mean, they just kept going to it, or Jaren Jackson Jr. They just kept going to it over and over and over again. Something we've been harping on, man, and I don't know what the answer is. I still don't know what the Bulls can throw at this with being down Lonzo and being down Caruso and being down Patrick Williams. Not a great solution here for Billy Donovan to turn to, obviously. I just want to see him get more creative with what we have here when teams just pick us apart with this over and over again. I mean, it's just – it's become the recipe to destroy the Bulls on the defensive end, and we just have no answer for it, right?
I thought they did a better job in the second half, kind of disrupting it on the back end a little bit, having Derrick Jones Jr. in there a little more. Tristan Thompson got to play 16 minutes tonight. Vucevic still played 31 minutes, but Tristan Thompson had 16 and Derrick Jones Jr. had 19. So while the Bulls don't really have a traditional power forward type, those two guys are not really those two, but Derrick Jones Jr. really kind of played that power forward type, and I think having him do that and be that rim protector on the back end, because they were pulling Vooch out in that pick and roll, so I thought Billy Donovan and I thought the team did a decent job in trying to adjust, you know, bringing the effort level. Zach went under a screen a couple times. I know I remember one specific. He went under the screen and Jaw just pulled right up on him for three, and he didn't go under screens the next couple times after that. So there's a lot to the pick and roll. I thought the Bulls did pretty well with it, but Lonzo and Caruso make a huge difference if they're the ones involved in the pick and roll defense.
Yeah, I can't wait to guys back, man. I was posting on Twitter and saying, you know, I wish I could see Lonzo Ball and Caruso shutting down John Morant here. He's not going to score a career high 46, I don't think, if Caruso and Lonzo Ball are playing in this game. But as it was, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I want to say, oh gosh, over 50% of his shots were at the rim, Trey, and pretty much uncontested. I can remember, you know, at least a dozen layups off the top of my head where he just went to the other side of the rim and there was just nobody there to really contest the shot. It's a little bit frustrating, but again, being down all these bodies, I just don't know if there's a correct answer here that I'm looking for from Billy Donovan. I don't have the answer, so I can't really criticize him too much. I know I've said in the past I'm going to try different things. I do think they did a better job in the second half, like you said, though. You got something to say?
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another, and don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation, but then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano, and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof, while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof, massaging leather appointed seats are available features.
No, I was really just going to point out that the Grizzlies have been one of the best teams in the NBA this year. The defense that they play with, it's very physical, and the refs let them get away with a lot early on. That it didn't seem like the Bulls were getting away with as much in the first quarter, but as the game went on, they did seem to swallow their whistles a little bit more for the Bulls. So it all evens out in the end, but I think the Bulls kind of were surprised by how physical they were, because it seemed like, I mean, I don't know if it's even physical or just kind of the tightness of the defense. Memphis just came out and made everything difficult for the Bulls, and tradition, you know, throughout the year the Bulls have been able to get quality looks. It's one of the reasons, you know, they lead the league in 3-point percentage, even though they don't take very many, because they're always taking open looks. You know, DeMar's always able to use his footwork to get open looks, and the Grizzlies just made everything hard tonight. I think that's why you see Io go, you know, Io didn't get a point.
Yeah. I was going to say, DeRozan was crowded every single time he took a shot. I mean, it was really good defense on DeRozan, I felt like. Of course, in the past, in other games, so the refs haven't been consistent, because in this game, they weren't calling most of the fouls that he's been getting all season. So that was obviously frustrating. And obviously DeMar DeRozan gets ejected after two technical fouls, gets ejected on the last play of the game where it was a foul. I mean, we saw the replay a couple times, borderline. I mean, you know, it could have gone either way, I felt like. But in this kind of crunch time situation, and you know, he's going to the basket and the guy's got his arm, there's clearly contact on that play. I don't know how you don't call that a foul at the NBA level. That gets called a foul all the time on the NBA level for guys like LeBron James and what have you. So I get why he was
frustrated. It does, but with the way the game had been officiated, I did not feel super cheated.
Yeah, it was consistent with the way it had been, efficient. And DeMar didn't do an incredible job adjusting. Obviously, he had a huge fourth quarter. We'll talk about that in a minute, obviously, too. But he didn't do a good job adjusting to the physicality of the play. I think that it really bothered him. It really bothered Vooch, I felt like. I didn't feel like Vooch really played very well today. But you were talking about – you brought up Tristan Thompson. I want to talk about him for a minute because I usually talk about, you know, single game plus minus not meaning much. But I think this one just sticks out to me, and it means a lot because he's a plus 14 in this game. He's the highest on the team. The next closest is plus 9 with Kobe White. Pretty much everything – all of our starters obviously are in the negatives. And we could talk all day about the context of that, and I don't think there's a whole lot you can take for that. But this passes my eye test, Trey, so I do want to say that this is something where I wish Tristan Thompson would have gotten more than 16 minutes. I was hoping he'd get at least 20, 25 tonight because of the way that the, like you said, the Grizzlies play with their physicality and their activity on the boards. The activity on the offensive boards is something as a dimension of the game. And we talked about this before when you picked him up, Trey. You mentioned it yourself. It's a dimension of the game that the Bulls just don't have. And his activity on the offensive boards is something that really gave the Memphis Grizzlies problems, and it prevented them from being able to, you know, get the board and look up the floor and get that outlet pass and get easy transition buckets. So I would have liked to see him play more than 16 minutes. What about you?
Yeah, I've said from the beginning of the season, I like to see Vooch around 28 minutes. So, you know, if he played three less minutes, give, you know, that lets Thompson right at 19. You know, you can give him, you can find another minute for him to get him up to 20. But to me, I think that's about the ideal amount for him because he comes in, he gets to just go 100 miles an hour, and he gave the Bulls exactly what they needed tonight. And it was great to see. I hope he continues to have this level of success he's had in these first two games because you pointed it out perfectly, the way he was able to force the Grizzlies to gang rebound and not be able to get out and run. The Grizzlies, I don't have the transition numbers yet because it's just too early, but they were able to get out so much in transition. It felt like they were always running, whether it was off of misses or makes, they were always trying to push the pace. And it was nice having Tristan Thompson around. Bradley was serviceable for the first half of the season, but I think you can really see the difference already between the two.
And I think the Bulls, the Bulls use their, I think it's the biannual exception on Tristan Thompson to sign him, which is an effort here because they're going to be able to give him more money in the offseason, I believe, if they want to keep him around. I think that's a smart idea. This guy's, I think he's 30 years old, if I recall correctly. So he's right in the middle of his prime.
Not only that, but it also let us give him an extra $200,000, which compared to another team offering him the minimum. Right. So, you know, Brooklyn might have been calling, you know, the Bucks have been looking for big. So a lot of teams were going to be looking for him. So I think it was seeing the value he's already added. Smart move by AK.
Yeah, a little early to call it. Yeah, obviously, you know, definitively yet, but so far, so good for sure. So yeah, Ayodele Sumu, no points at all. 22 minutes. He only played 22 minutes, which is a little bit shocking to me. Three turnovers. He did get a couple steals, three assists, a couple rebounds. I was a little bit surprised that I didn't see more Ayodele Sumu on Ja Morant. Any idea why that didn't happen more? Because I felt like he was, you know, doing a decent job.
I'm not really sure. I didn't notice. Like, I noticed when he wasn't guarding him, but I didn't even think about looking to see like who he was guarding or what the situation even was. So I don't know why, especially considering how much he relished guarding Trae Young in the game before. But I do think the Grizzlies' defense, between their length, their talent, and just the way they fly around the court, a couple of those turnovers for Ayo were pretty rough looking. And I think that's just part of the rookie, you know, maybe not the rookie wall, but the game had seemed to slow down for him quite a bit. But I think maybe with this competition level ramping up, maybe it was just sometimes a lot of people play podcast. I play with podcast at 1.2. So, you know, maybe it was just a little bit, the game was just a little bit faster for Ayo than it has been these last few games. And Billy Donovan saw the opportunity to give Derek Jones Jr. some more minutes, or Kobe White, who played 35 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say Kobe looks like the one that got the biggest benefit there because he ended up playing 35 minutes, and he had a very good game too. So don't necessarily disagree with that, because the Bulls did need that offensive push, especially at the end there. So big fourth quarter run, Trey. Obviously, the Bulls were down, you know, big time. They've been down basically double digits the whole game. But in that fourth quarter, they cut it to they tied it up, I believe, right? They tied it up. And saw some good things there, man. But I think the biggest thing that we saw was the increase in the defensive intensity and getting out and getting our own transition buckets. So I think, like you said, you gave the Bulls their flowers for guarding that pick and roll a little bit better in the second half. That was definitely part of it. Another part of it, maybe just a little bit of the Memphis, you know, Ja Morant and Memphis's youth kind of showing, and they didn't take great shots, I felt like, at times, and turned the ball over. And so the Bulls really capitalized and made this a exciting game. And we saw DeMar DeRozan. I don't know how many points he had in the fourth. He had quite a few of his points in the fourth, though, for sure.
Right. I'm not sure how many. The run, if I remember correctly, the run started after Jaren Jackson Jr. got that technical. I think he got a technical, and then he went to the bench. So besides that pick and roll defense ramping up, I thought the Bulls did a really good job of boxing out and gang rebounding and making sure that the Grizzlies were only getting the one shot there whenever they were making their run. They were getting the ball, and then they were able to get down and get into their offense. And that was really key, being able to go on that huge run, because even early in the game when the Bulls would get stops, those offensive rebounds, it just sucked the life out of the team, it seemed like. So buckling down on the defensive end, just all the way from the pick and roll defense to finishing out the defensive possession with the rebound, I thought it was really encouraging to see the Bulls just kind of buckle down and hang in this game. And they've done that all season. I know that's something we should expect from this team, but again, the Grizzlies, they play tough. They are not a fun team to go against. And being down 16 in the fourth quarter and to still grind it out, I know the Bulls lost this game, but I don't feel terrible about this loss.
They gave themselves a chance, man. They really did. Zach LaVine was just insane tonight. One guy that really dealt with the physicality of the Memphis Grizzlies defense well was Zach LaVine. I loved what I saw of Zach LaVine tonight. He looked healthy, Trey. I almost called you Zach. He looked healthy, Zach. Zach looked healthy, Trey.
We talked about Ja and his athleticism.
Yeah.
You mentioned Zach being able to play through what Memphis brings on the defensive end. It just seems like he glides through the air.
He was absorbing the contact, finishing over guys like Steven Adams. Yeah. Like, it was great to see, because we've seen him do that stuff in the past. That's exactly what I want to see out of Zach LaVine. I'll point out, it was coming down the stretch last minute of the game. I saw, you know, Zach LaVine, it was like the last 28 seconds or so. He grabbed the rebound and went full court and went straight at, I can't remember who it was.
One on four, drew a foul.
He just forced the issue, man. That knee is obviously feeling good. So, you know, that's some good news that we can take away from this, even though it's a loss tonight. And it was going to be a tough game anyways. I'm not really even upset at the loss. I'm more upset at how they played through the first, you know, two quarters, basically. The third and fourth quarter, I felt like they played decently. The first and second quarter were just it was hard to watch, honestly. It didn't feel like I think part of it was the reffing, and then part of it was the Bulls getting frustrated about the reffing, and then they weren't playing in their game, and then the Grizzlies were just playing great. I mean, give the Grizzlies their credit. They deserve to win this game, so, you know, I'm not glad that they won. I want the Bulls to win, but I'm not like, you know, I don't feel like the Bulls let one slip away here. How about you?
No, not at all. It was like watching the Bulls just get punched in the mouth. Just right in the mouth, and then, like you said, when the Bulls kind of punched back, it seemed like they got the whistle a little bit there early, and the frustration set in. But the Bulls continued to battle. I think they went into halftime down 7, and I messaged Buddy and said I felt like the Bulls should be down more than that. So to be able to come back, make this a one-possession game with less than a minute to go, that's a hard-fought victory against a team that's now 22 games over 500. Like, the Memphis Grizzlies are one of the best teams in the league. The Bulls shorthanded went toe-to-toe with them, and they came up a little short. But, you know, it happens. You're not going to win them all.
Couple things. So yeah, you know, that's a good way to look at things. A couple of things that concern me, Trey. Bulls were 12-15 against teams 500 or better coming into this one. Obviously, like you just said, Memphis Grizzlies way above 500. So they are now 12-16 against teams 500 or better. Does that concern you? It concerns me a little bit, just a little bit, because like you said, we've been shorthanded all season. I think once we get fully healthy, that's a totally different story. I think we don't need to blow this out of proportion. But I am a little bit concerned that we're not able to hang with the better teams, right?
I'm with you in the sense of I'm not worried yet because we've been so shorthanded. Missing three of your, six guys probably in the rotation? Seven?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So to me, I'm glad that the Bulls are able to beat the teams they're supposed to beat. You know, the teams that are under 500, they're clearly dominating given the record that they have. So I would like to see the Bulls kind of play a little bit better against the top teams. But the fact that they aren't playing against the healthier teams in the league, playing as well against the healthier teams in the league, it's whatever to me. I'm ready. I hate to say like I'm ready for the playoffs to get here because the Bulls, there's so much to find out seeding wise, but I'm ready for the Bulls to get healthy is really where I'm at with it, because until the Bulls get healthy, we've seen this team without Lonzo, without Caruso, without Patrick Williams. They are one of the best teams in the East, but they're probably a tier below a real contender.
Yeah, I don't disagree, Trey. Another thing that's concerning me a little bit here is Vucevic and his struggles from deep. 0 for 5 tonight from the three-point land. I think he was shooting 29% over the last 20 games last time I checked, so that probably dropped, obviously, to something like 26, 27% from three. I don't necessarily want him shooting a ton of them. Shooting five threes is, if he's open, sure, that's fine. I don't think that's like a terrible amount. He's not shooting like 8, 9, 10. But I don't know, man. Maybe we need to have less Vooch threes in our offense. Is that something we need to like focus on, or does he just need to figure it out and shoot better?
I do prefer usually when he takes less threes, and that's something we've seen as he's had his successful run. That being said, in a game like tonight, going against a big like Steven Adams, he was getting wide open 3-point shots, and I know he has been cold. He's been cold all year. For the most part, unless he'll have his hot, three or four game stretches where he's hot. But over the course of the year, he's been pretty cold. But over his career, he's been above average, above the break. So to me, if he could have knocked down even one of those, it would have been, it would have been huge for this team going down the stretch. So there are situations where I want him to shoot five, and tonight would have been one of those. So while I'm not concerned about it tonight, I would like to see him actually make a few of them in the next couple games.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it? A few points. I will say that big Bulls fourth quarter, Trey, won me some money tonight. I had a little three-play action here on Thrive. I had, oh my goodness, it just went away. Here it is. I had Zach LaVine over 27.5 points and assists. DeMar DeRozan over 41.5 points, rebounds, and assists. And I had to pair that with Lauri Markkanen over 13.5 points, and he had 23 tonight. So that wins me. Oh, no, they took it away from me. Oh, no, DeMar DeRozan finished at 41. I'm just looking at it now. They must have taken some away from him somewhere. Oh, no, ooh, that sucks. I almost hit a big parlay tonight for $10 for $62 on our new partner, Thrive Fantasy. At Sports Ethos, we have our partner here, Thrive Fantasy. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit, up to $100 plus either two or four free game tickets to play. Pick player props on the biggest names playing every night. Score points when your props hit, and the players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize money. And check out our Sports Ethos DFS team or podcast for advice on winners. Again, that code is ETHOS over at thrivefantasy.com. So, Trey, I've been listening, you know me, I like to listen to NBA news and everything all day, every day, because that's just my life. And I've been listening to these, big pundits over at ESPN, over at SiriusXM, start to mention DeMar DeRozan as a front runner for the MVP award. You've got Stephen A. Smith saying such things. You've got some guys over at SiriusXM. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Geltzeiler and some other people. They're saying, you know, what DeMar DeRozan has done with that streak of 8 games at 35 points or more and 50% or better from the field, you know, better than Wilt Chamberlain, better than Michael Jordan ever did. They're saying that now, definitely one of the top candidates. So it's kind of interesting to see the, you know, conversation change on a national level, right? We've always been on that DeMar DeRozan bandwagon, but are you buying or selling that DeMar DeRozan is a top candidate now for MVP?
I mean, I'm selling the fact that he's the favorite, like Stephen A. Smith said. I really do believe it's narrative-wise, you can make the case for DeMar, and depending on how the season unfolds, you know, you might be able to make that case even better. But right now, I think it's a clear three-man race between Embiid, Jokic, and Giannis. And I love DeMar. I love what DeMar's done. And if you look at just the shooting and just the scoring and the value added there, he's clearly the MVP. And just even in the, like in terms of clutchness, I think in the fourth quarter, he's probably right up there with Chris Paul putting up some of the best numbers in the league. Again, this is off the top of my head. Don't kill me if that's wrong, but I think he's firmly number four to me. And to seeing him brought up on a national level, I think it is fantastic. But I hate to see Stephen A. Smith and these other people say he's the front runner and he's the favorite and he's the guy we need to be thinking is the MVP, because what happens in 2 weeks when that's not the case? Are they gonna tear DeMar DeRozan down? Like, don't build him up to tear him down. Let's just enjoy the MVP race. He's one of the front runners. He's one of the, you know, handful of best players in the world, and he should be on every ballot.
Yeah, I think you're crazy if you don't think he's at least a top five MVP candidate. I would say top three for me, maybe. I would probably put him above Giannis. I think Giannis has had another incredible season. I just think DeMar DeRozan's had an even more incredible season than Giannis. So, you know, you don't have to be – it's not that one is bad and one is good. One is just a little bit better than the other to me. And so I'm taking DeMar over Giannis. So he's in my top three, but – he had 13 points inside its fourth quarter, by the way. King of the fourth continues, 5 of 11 from the field in the fourth quarter. Just getting these numbers here now. A block. He did have a big block there, an assist and 3 rebounds. So just an incredible season from DeMar. It's a delight to watch this guy, you know, lace him up every night, go out there and play for my bullies, man. It's a real treat.
Speaking of numbers coming in, pop quiz for you, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
How many of percentage-wise? So how many of the Grizzlies shots did they take at the rim?
Oh gosh, it has to be. I'm gonna guess 45%.
Ooh, really close. 44.
Okay.
What about the Bulls?
Oh, it has to be like probably 26.
26? Ooh, way off, buddy. The Bulls actually shot a higher percentage than the
really?
Grizzlies. 48%. I was surprised by you too.
Really?
I was hoping you would go under. That's why I tried to casually throw the Bulls in there. I knew if I was like, so weird random stat, you'd know something was up.
46% at the rim, huh?
48. The Bulls took 48% of their shots at the rim. Yeah. Only converted at a 48% rate.
Yeah.
Memphis converted at a 50% rate. But neither team were able to convert well at the rim, but they just constantly attacked, and the Grizzlies were able to take better advantage of the offensive boards thanks to their size.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little bit surprising. I'm trying to look at I wanted to see the fast break points, which are – we're just getting this stuff now, so you have to bear with me now. Actually, you know what? I've got screen assist points up here. I want to see where did Mr. Steve Nandums – he only got two. Only two screen assist – oh, wait, this is the fourth quarter. No, wait, this is all the quarters. Only two, really?
I see in transition, I don't know what it was for the game, but per 100 possessions, Memphis added 4.5 points in transition this game, while Chicago added 6.1. So it looks like Chicago was better in transition off those numbers from cleaning the glass, but they're a little – they're a little convoluted for my brain to understand at 11 o'clock at night right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. Hold on, I just had it up here, and then I went away because I was, like, trying to look at something else. Okay, fast break points. They had 10, and the Bulls had 15. Bulls had more fast break points, too. I think a lot of those came in the fourth quarter, though. I'm interested to see in the fourth quarter how many fast break points they had here. They had 14. No, I'm sorry. Four of their – okay, so they didn't actually have more. That's interesting. The stats surprise you sometimes. Sometimes you go, what, really? So we'll have to dig more into that stuff, obviously. But no, it's at least it was an entertaining game tonight. What do you got?
Oh, I was gonna say it makes sense though. The Bulls were running, trying to play catch up. They were down 16 points at one point, and they were down 9 points at the end of the first quarter. It's not like it was a close game throughout. So the Bulls, I felt like they were every chance they got to run and try and get an easy bucket, they were trying to take advantage of just to try and catch up.
Yeah, for sure. But like I said, I think the good tonight, Zach LaVine played well. DeMar DeRozan is still incredible. Made it interesting. Tristan Thompson, really, I think he's going to be a really key piece once we're all healthy. I think he's going to be fantastic in a 15 to 20 minute role a night. Can't wait to have freaking Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso back, man. They would have made such a big difference in tonight's game. But it is what it is. Bulls lose. We move to some kind of standings here. We're in second now, a game behind the Heat, who I believe did win tonight. So 39-22 on the season the Bulls are now. The Bulls do get the Heat on Monday. So, Trey, we got a big one on Monday coming up. I will be able to watch that one. I've got a busy week, though. We're wrapping up our basketball season for the city here. So I had 7 games today. Oh, my gosh, sitting through 5th and 6th grade girls games and just, like, wishing I wasn't. But it's all good, man. Monday, I'll be able to watch that game. Thursday might be a little difficult. We do play the Hawks on Thursday as well. Just smoke them, so hopefully we'll smoke them again. Didn't quite smoke them, actually. It was a pretty close game, but we beat them, so hopefully we'll beat them again. So that's a couple of another few more tough games coming up here, Trey, and we've got a tough schedule. We talked about that before the break, before we came back from the break. So it doesn't get any easier here, does it?
No, and that's one of the reasons I was hoping the Bulls were going to be able to steal this one tonight, but hopefully they can get some wins against some Eastern Conference opponents and get some space between them and the Heat, especially if they can beat the Heat. It'd be nice because I think the Heat have pretty much all their guys back right now.
Yeah, the Heat are healthy and the Heat are rolling, and so we need to try to put a stop to that. I would love a win over the Miami Heat. I think that'd be a big statement game. And hopefully we get Lonzo Ball and Caruso back soon. I don't know exactly when that's going to be, but we'll have to look into that. But it's coming in the next, two, three, four weeks here, I would think. So the cavalry's coming. We just got to hang on a little bit longer here. But that's going to do it for us, guys. Before we do sign off, I want to also remind you all to use coupon code HoopBall20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. And also check out our pals at mybookie.ag. Use code HoopBall on the third page of sign up to unlock pause match bonuses there as well. I am Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at @BSBPKeith. And Trey, where can the people find you?
On Twitter at @FinalFinally.
And don't forget to follow the show, guys. It is @EthosBulls, @EthosBulls. Go follow us there. Until next time, let's go.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.